Hare Krishna. Continuing reading, my glorious master, the last section was called To Bow or Not to Bow, and this section is called To Stop or Not to Stop. The four of us, Swamiji, Gaurasunda, Jim, and I, headed silently uptown on 2nd Avenue. The streets were nearly deserted. Swamiji walked briskly along 2nd Avenue, not heeding the red lights, but simply glancing left and right before crossing. My comment. I had been curious to see how Swamiji would deal with the streetlights. Would he follow the letter of the law and, quote, stop on red, end quote, or be practical and cross as traffic permitted? Without a moment's hesitation, Swamiji chose the practical course. I was satisfied to see this and understood that Krishna consciousness is practical. Democrats and Republicans. Our walk continued in silence along 8th Street, St. Mark's Place. Swamiji then headed east several blocks to Avenue B, turned into Tompkins Square Park, and began walking the circular walkway opposite St. Bridget's Church. After completing the round several times, Swamiji headed back towards 2nd Avenue, pulling his three young followers in his wake. On 2nd Avenue, close to the temple, Swamiji chose to break the silence. Turning across the avenue towards a wall lined with Democratic Party posters for the upcoming 1968 presidential election, Swamiji stopped, pointed his cane, and looked at us. What are these Democrats and Republicans? My mental reaction was typical of the 60s. There's no difference between these parties. They're both cheaters. But I remained silent, unsure of how to answer. Gaurasunda began explaining the difference between the parties based on their stance on the Vietnam War. I remember feeling foolish as I realized I was 21 years old and had no idea as to the difference, even on a superficial level, between Democrats and Republicans. Years later, I understood that feeling a fool before one's spiritual master is appropriate, and that my spiritual master was personally instructing me, even during this initial morning walk. Back to Buffalo. Swamiji resumed his silence for the rest of the walk, and we arrived back at 26 2nd Avenue. Jim and I stood and watched as Gaurasunda opened the door. This allowed both Swamiji and him to pass through the anteroom and the courtyard to Swamiji's second-story apartment. Nothing of external significance had occurred during the walk. Swamiji had only uttered 6 words the entire time. But by the time we got back to 26 2nd Avenue, I had decided to become his disciple. Jim and I offered our obeisances, went in and ate our breakfast of heavenly porridge, that's what the oatmeal was called, picked up our bags, and left for Buffalo. One interesting thing happened that I didn't write about is that we again hitchhiked back towards Buffalo. It took us quite a while to exit New York City. And then when we were somewhere around Rochester, New York, which is, or perhaps Syracuse or Rochester, which was an hour or two or three away from Buffalo, it was late at night and we weren't going to get any ride. So we stopped in some motel, and we asked if we could just rest on in the chairs there and begin our journey again next morning. We were students, so the night booking clerk, he allowed us to do so. So we were sort of resting, and suddenly, I don't remember what time it was, but in the middle of the night, a drunken fellow came in, and he started yelling at us and abusing us and saying, why aren't you at school, and saying this and that and this and that. And he was drunk and he was nasty and he was middle-aged. And it was a bit frightening because we had just been woken up from our half-sleep sitting on the couch. I was half-sleeping on the couch. And suddenly the booking clerk came over and threatened him, told them to leave them alone, told him to leave us alone, and told him to get out now. And then and then he explained to us, who were still sort of stunned and half awake, that he used to be a professional prize fighter. He was a young man, but he said, I used to be a professional prize fighter, a boxer. So at that time, I had the distinct feeling that Krishna was protecting us. It was so clear to me that Krishna had inspired the booking clerk, his name was Kid Somebody, as a professional boxer, had inspired him to protect us. So I remember that clearly, and that stuck in my mind. And the next day, we arrived back in Buffalo, back to school, back to the university. Okay, the next chapter is called Montreal, June 1968. A matter of choice. I had been chanting Hare Krishna since January, and in April 68, I was the first to move into our newly acquired Buffalo temple. The temple, ISKCON 7th, was a rickety white two-story house on LaSalle Street near the university. When university classes were just about to end in April, I received a letter from a girlfriend suggesting we go to Cape Cod together for the summer. I informed Rupanuga that I would be leaving for Cape Cod with my girlfriend, but that I would be back in September. Rupanuga sat me down. He looked me in the eye and told me that it was time for me to make my choice. Did I want to become a devotee or not? I quickly decided to stay with the devotees, and I wrote my friend explaining that I was unable to accompany her. Later that summer, Rupanuga approached me as I pulled weeds in the temple garden. Swamiji was now in Montreal and was holding an initiation ceremony on Sunday. Rupanuga Prabhu asked if I wanted to become initiated. I said I would think about it. At that time, had no idea of the commitment involved in accepting a spiritual master. As I pulled weeds, a voice inside advised that initiation would help me continue chanting Hare Krishna and stop me from leaving Krishna consciousness. After 5 minutes of deliberation, I informed Rupanuga that I would like to take initiation. I had a few dollars to put towards my bus fare. Rupanuga gave me 10 more. A few friends chipped in a bit, and the remainder came from the temple's collection box. I was ready to go. My comment. Prabhupada had been unable to obtain permanent residency status or physically residing in the United States, so he had flown to Montreal, Canada, where his disciples had recently established a temple. As soon as Prabhupada arrived, devotees began visiting him. And as several aspiring disciples were ready for their vows, Prabhupada decided to hold an initiation ceremony. Brahmananda, acting as Prabhupada's secretary, phoned Rupanuga from Montreal and asked whether or not I was ready for initiation. Rupanuga had passed on his question to me. Okay, we'll end here. Hare Krishna.